It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Governor Jim Justice touted the road work his administration has carried out during a speech at the Capitol last night.
280 pieces of new equipment we have now, 27,000 miles of maintenance that they've done, 18 months, 500 projects and 1,100 miles done.
More on the State of the State address and Justice's budget proposal. We'll have that coming up. The Appalachian Regional Commission has named Republican Ohio Governor Mike DeWine as its new state's co-chair. Becca Schimmel has details.
DeWine was elected by Appalachia's 13 governors to serve as the state's co-chair for 2020. He will work directly with the federal co-chair as part of the commission's federal-state partnership structure. In a statement, DeWine said he'll focus on increasing innovation, entrepreneurship, and growing tourism in each state. DeWine is ARC's 67th state's co-chair and only the fifth Ohio governor to serve in this role. In the last fiscal year, ARC invested more than $12 million in Ohio's 32 Appalachian counties. That funding was matched with over $35 million. ARC focuses on investing in economic growth and development across the Appalachian region. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Becca Schimmel.
Republican Governor Jim Justice rolled out his legislative wish list last night for 2020's 60-day session. Justice's State of the State address touched on everything from economic opportunities to substance abuse and child welfare, outlining a smaller budget compared to previous years, but also highlighting new policy proposals. Dave Mistich brings us this recap.
Justice used some familiar narrative devices at the beginning of his speech.
When I walked in the door, I said I was going to take you on a rocket ship ride, like that. And we've been on this rocket ship ride.
But this time around, Justice appeared to temper his outlook for the upcoming fiscal year's budget. He held a sign that showed an up and down projection that ultimately pointed upward.
What I want you to do is change. And I want you to become on this lightning bolt ride with us, because that's where we will go. We're underfilling and we are building in what should be built in. That's why tonight you're going to see that the budget that I propose to you is very, very conservative.
According to state budget officials, the governor's $4.585 billion general revenue budget for fiscal year 2021 will be roughly $108 million less than the current allocation. In hopes of invigorating business possibilities in the state, Justice touted an idea for a Mountaineer Impact Fund, a proposal that's been floated by House Speaker Roger Hanshaw in the lead-up to the 2020 legislative session.
You have a fund that becomes the bank that you can loan money and inspire people to invest within the state of West Virginia, and you can give all kinds a great return on their money that they invest, and you can bring money to our state like you can't imagine. It is an ingenious idea, and I absolutely will fully support it.
Justice revisited his affinity for using props by having attendees in the House chamber put on highway worker safety vests. He also celebrated road work his administration has accomplished over recent years and said he looks forward to continuing that trend.
280 pieces of new equipment we have now, 27,000 miles of maintenance that they've done, 18 months, 500 projects and 1,100 miles done. We just went through the second round of bonding and we have, believe it or not, another $146.5 million that we can just do anything we want with. And we're going to pour more and more and more money into our roads.
Justice rolled out a set of new policy proposals, including requesting $1.9 million for Department of Military Affairs and Public Safety Secretary Jeff Sandy to establish a new task force to crack down on drug trafficking.
I will promise you, that if you are kind enough to give us that opportunity, and I want to say this as sincerely and as forcefully as a human being could ever say it, I want to look right in the camera and tell anybody that is trying to come into our state with drugs, we are going to bust your ass. That's all there is to it.
The governor highlighted needs within the embattled Department of Health and Human Resources. To that end, he proposed hiring 87 additional workers for Child Protective Services at a cost of $26.4 million. Justice is also seeking $19.7 million to eliminate the wait list for services for people with intellectual and developmental disabilities.
There's 1,060 of them that have been on a wait list for a long time, some of them 4 years. 600 of them are children. We have now found enough money. Tonight, I'm so proud to announce that Secretary Crouch and Secretary Hardy have found a solution, and my budget will contain the funding to eliminate the wait list.
Returning to finances, Justice also proposed $1 million to increase opportunities at food banks across the state and another $2 million for a backpack program to feed needy school children. In closing, Justice returned to another set of familiar themes, including his love for the state and the role of governor as coach.
I love you. I love this great state. I love all that we stand for. I love the fact that I've been able to be maybe a coach. I've been maybe working towards the fact that if we could just say that maybe, just maybe, I've been a coach that's been working to train you for the Olympics. And that's you being West Virginia. And all I would say now is go win the gold. God bless you. Thank you.
For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Dave Mistich at the Capitol.
For continued coverage of the 60-day session, tune in every weeknight at 6 for the Legislature Today, right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting and online at wvpublic.org. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:50. Becoming mostly sunny today, high temperatures in the 40s and 50s. Cloudy tonight with lows in the 30s and 40s. Mostly cloudy on Friday and breezy with highs in the 50s and 60s. Support for the weather forecast is provided by Jaeger Airport CRW with flights to Orlando, Florida MCO beginning February 14th. More at JaegerAirport.com. Like many communities in Appalachia, Native American populations cope with some of the highest rates of health disparities and social dysfunction in the country. In the latest episode of West Virginia Public Broadcasting's podcast, Us and Them, host Trey Kay speaks with journalist Max Nesterak about his American Public Media documentary, Uprooted, the 1950s plan to erase Indian country. Nesterak's piece focuses on the federal government's attempt to force indigenous people to assimilate into American culture by trying to move them from reservations to cities. In this excerpt, Nesterak talks with Trey about how some Native Americans suffer from what's called ancestral trauma.
That's a term that was coined by a Native American scholar. It's the idea that traumatic events a people may experience can actually be passed down through the generations and manifest themselves later in heightened rates of mental illness, alcoholism, even physical health problems like diabetes or high blood pressure. So this is kind of a burgeoning area of research. And what I heard from people is that they know that they are living with trauma and they've experienced trauma in their own life, whether that means having to move from the reservation, the land that you wanted to stay on, or whether it meant having to live in substandard housing in a city and go to a school where you didn't speak the language or nobody looked like you or teachers told you your culture, your identity, your way of being was wrong. you think about what effect that has on a population which generation throughout generation has had some massive upheaval, some policy that has tried to destroy you and make you something different. You can understand how that may have helped contribute to the higher rates of homelessness, domestic violence, addiction, and other things we see in the Native American population.
I was interested to hear that you connected with Sam Strong of the Red Lake Nation and Ojibwe tribe. And he's the guy who initially mentioned the relocation program at that City Hall meeting that you went to. I want to hear your conversation with him, and then we'll talk about it afterwards.
Okay. Sam is 35 years old. He wears his hair in a long braid down his back. Today he's got on a Red Lake Warriors basketball jersey to support the girls' team playing in the state tournament in Minneapolis.
So yeah, we shut down. You know, it kind of seems like a weekend here, huh? Everyone's down supporting the girls.
The reservation covers about 1,300 square miles of forest and most of Red Lake. As we drive, you see ice fishing tents dotting the frozen lake to the horizon. Sam points out the building where the tribe processes the million or so pounds of walleye pulled from the lake each year.
I remember when I was a little kid, I would look up at the maps. Red Lake is so large that it's actually represented on most maps, which is awesome. Because as a little kid, you always looked for it and, you know, always thought, hey, that's where I'm from.
Sam didn't grow up on the reservation. His dad went on relocation to Los Angeles in the 60s, and then moved to Minneapolis, where Sam was born. Shortly after, they moved to North Carolina, where Sam grew up. Sam's path back to the reservation started when he was 16 years old and entered treatment for drug and alcohol addiction in North Carolina. It was a culturally specific facility run by the Eastern Band of Cherokee Indians, and an elder there said he should go to Minnesota and work for his own tribe.
16 in a treatment center, he said, you know what? I want you to be a planner. I want you to go back to your people and plan out your community in a way that is respectful of our traditions. And I know you can do it because I see that you have respect for our people and our way of life, but you also understand how to work in today's world, and you can combine those two. And so I became a planner based off that lesson from an elder when I was 16 years old.
Wow. But a planner seems like an oddly specific thing for an elder to
point out. Yeah, it's crazy, right? And then I did it. That's even the crazier part.
After treatment, Sam finished high school and then got accepted to Cornell University.
My first summer after going off to school, I came back and I started to work as a planner in the Tribal Roads and Engineering Department.
After college, Sam moved back to the reservation with his dad. He eventually got a job as the Director of Economic Development. It's only recently, in 2018, that he was elected tribal secretary. It's one of three full-time council positions, along with the chairman and treasurer. It's a challenging job. Of the 5,000 tribal members living on the reservation, 90% live below the poverty level. Most people live in small, manufactured homes spread far apart, which means if you can't afford a car, and many can't, it's hard to get around the reservation, and even harder to get a job. The reservation's remote location also means its casino isn't very profitable. But to see the reservation through Sam's eyes is to see its possibilities.
You know, we want to have everything here to thrive. And yes, we want to improve our educational systems. We have a tribal college now, a two-year program. We want it to be a four-year program and a PhD program. We want to be fully independent. You know, one of our goals here is to be a sovereign nation, totally independent. And by that I mean energy, food, culture, education, and our economy.
We've been listening to an excerpt of the Us and Them episode, Indian Country Relocation, a one-way ticket to poverty. To hear the entire episode and learn more about the 1950s program to relocate indigenous people from reservations to cities, you can download the Us and Them podcast from iTunes, Stitcher, NPR One, or Radio Public. You can also listen online at wvpublic.org.
Mm-hmm.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glennis Ford. I'm Teresa Wills.